Okay, so the next project that I'm going to talk about is some seed funding that we have through the Young Scientist Awards to look at the potential for foliar phosphorus fertilisation in Australian dryland cropping systems. And in conjunction with that, we've developed some techniques to trace foliar phosphorus fertiliser uptake into grain. So for this project, I'm just going to talk a bit, little bit about why we might be interested in foliar pea. Part of our funding was we were required to review the literature on foliar pea, so I'm just going to present the key findings of our review. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of what we consider to be the research gaps. I'm going to present my glasshouse trial, which has the tracing study, and just finish up with some recommendations that we feel are required for the testing of foliar pea. So why would we think about foliar pea? In Australia, certainly every agronomist will tell you it won't work, except for the one agronomist that bugged us to get the funding. But we think if it was effective, we could decrease our starter fertiliser application rates. That's not to undermine the importance of starter fertiliser, but we think that we can manage our risk a bit more across the season and decrease these starter fertiliser rates and allow for top-up in season when there's adequate yield potential. So here we're trying to manage our canopy according to the prevailing climatic conditions, and this is similar to the approach for nitrogen that's had very rapid uptake in Australian cropping systems. We also think that if we get a good foliar fertiliser formulation, we might avoid some of the fixation and absorption reactions that hinder phosphorus fertiliser efficiency when it's added to our soils. So in Australia, our soil phosphorus fertiliser efficiency usually falls somewhere between 5% and 25%. So this project had some seed funding for travel. We were lucky enough to visit the guys at Oklahoma State, who have done a lot of work on foliar pea before us. We reviewed the literature, and that we have the glasshouse experiment. So it was previously believed that cereals acquired enough phosphorus during the first few weeks of growth to produce their maximum yield. But this was generally based on glasshouse studies at relatively high temperatures that enabled the plants to reach heading at just 4 weeks of growth. More recently, Sutton has shown that you achieve maximum grain yield when phosphorus is supplied through to heading. And Batten found that total dry weight responses were due to continued production of tillers when phosphorus was supplied through to grain maturity. So that extra top-up P is supporting the viability of your tillers, basically. A study of Romer and Schilling is really nice. It just shows on the y-axis the uptake of P as a percentage of total P uptake over the growing season. So this line with the triangles is the amount of P, total amount of P, and we see it does plateau off around stage 9 to 10. And as you push into that reproductive phase, we are in fact still taking up a relatively important portion of our phosphorus. So our review of the literature suggested that crops can become deficient in phosphorus from flowering, as the developing seed has a higher phosphorus requirement in order to move photosynthate around the plant. Also, at this growth stage, root growth tends to stop, and nutrients are translocated from other parts of the plant, which has a relatively high energy cost. The addition of foliar pea just prior to flowering may increase the number of fertile tillers, delay the senescence, and provide resources for seed growth. When we were looking at foliar pea and its potential, we came back to the four important components that have been covered at this meeting at most of the fertiliser efficiency talks, which are rate and timing and effectiveness. So I'm just going to cover off here the timing factor. So when thinking about foliar pea, surface cover has a big impact on the maximum possible efficacy. And this is because foliar pea, if it hits the ground, is probably not going to make much difference to the plant because phosphorus is not very mobile and you're adding it in a pretty low concentration. So just an example of how ground cover would develop during the growing season, this is some Australian studies just on some of our wheat cultivars. So 6 weeks from sowing at late tillering, one of the cultivars has ground cover around 40% while the other's around 49%. Just 2 weeks later at stem elongation, that ground cover becomes 75% through to 79%. So just waiting those 2 weeks could make a big difference to your foliar fertiliser efficiency. It's quite hard to nail down the efficacy, but there are some tracer studies in the literature looking at the absorption of foliar phosphorus. These are using leaf discs though, so the absorption is probably higher than you would achieve under field conditions, and they report an absorption of foliar P of around 40 to 60%. So based on our ground cover example, at late tillering, the best efficacy that we could expect is around 16 to 29% uptake at late tillering and 30 to 47% uptake at stem elongation. So I mentioned the soil fertiliser efficiency in Australia is around 5 to 25%. So for the most part, this is better efficiency than soil fertiliser, but there is a limit on how much you can add. Generally, the literature reports that around 2 kilos per hectare is the most efficient rate. But seeing Bill Rawn's work at this meeting suggests that perhaps we can get a bit higher than that. The review of the literature suggested to us that adjuvants are a really important consideration when looking at the potential of foliar phosphorus. So adjuvants are used to increase the sticking or wetting and spreading and penetration of foliar formulations. They can be oils, surfactants, polymers, film-forming materials, and inorganic salts. So here you can just see, because I used a tracer, I had to add my fertiliser dropwise. And you can see that without an adjuvant, your drop's just sitting there and it has a really high chance of just rolling off that leaf. And so here we have a diagram representing the leaf structure and what happens with adjuvant. So without adjuvant, here we have the adjuvant just sitting on the cuticle and rolling around and doesn't have a really good chance of interception and penetration into the leaf. And here we have an example of an adjuvant that's spread and stuck to the leaf, and in this case it's going through the cuticle, and we have the stomate over here. In our study, we didn't test all available adjuvants, and we just chose one adjuvant, which is called LO700, and this was based on its scorch score and response in a pilot study, but we'd suggest that there are other adjuvants out there that are available and definitely worth testing. So our review of the literature suggests that the responses to foliar phosphorus in the field have been highly variable, and that the following research is required. We need to develop practical methods for farming systems with the appropriate formulation, timing and crop yield potential. We need to identify suitable combinations of nutrients and adjuvants. We need to understand better the physiology of foliar phosphorus leaf penetration and its interaction with the leaf. And we think that, I'll show you in my study, that isotopic tracer techniques are one way to better understand that physiology. And we'd like to assess the potential for foliar P to improve nutrient use efficiency under variable climatic conditions. There are some studies that suggest if you have periodic water stress in your plants, that foliar phosphorus might be one way to overcome that, that deficiency in nutrient supply, obviously not the water stress. So we did a glasshouse experiment to have a bit of a look at some foliar P treatments. We had two soils which tested marginal for phosphorus. And our phosphorus treatments were a starter P of 5 kg per hectare, so that was applied to every treatment. We had another soil control where we added the same amount of P that we added to the foliar treatments as well as the 5 kg of starter P. And then our foliar treatments were phosacid with LI700, top-up with LI700 and ammonium polyphosphate with LI700. Top-up is an Australian product, which is a combination of phosacid and technical grade MOP, and it has a relatively low pH. So we applied these fertilisers just prior to anthesis, and we used a radioactive tracer. So we used 21 10 microliter drops on every plant, and we try to apply those drops to as many leaves as possible. And this equates to a water rate of around 120 litres per hectare. 5 days after we applied the fertiliser, we had a look at the scorch effect using a Stein and Story scale. So in the top left, you can see, because we added it drop-wise, this is the scorch caused by fertiliser that's had adjuvant in it. So you can see the spread here. Obviously, this doesn't represent the kind of scorch you're going to get in the field when you spray it. So I just have a demonstration of what scorch might look like from another experiment that I did when you actually spray that fertiliser on. We didn't find an interaction between scorch and yield in this case, and the scorch score was pretty much dependent on the pH, as you would expect. So all those products with the pH of less than 2 had the higher score scorch, and ammonium polyphosphate with that more neutral pH didn't really have a scorch effect. So this is our yield response, and you see that one of our soils didn't respond to the foliar fertiliser, and there was no difference between treatments, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. And in the other soil, we did get some responses. So the treatment that we got to work in our experiment was phos acid with Li700 surfactant, and it was able to produce a significant increase in grain dry weight in our pot trial. And it was significantly better than adding that little bit of extra P to the soil. So when the foliar P product is working, it does have a greater efficiency than adding the same amount to the soil. This response also correlated to grain phosphorus uptake, so our best yielding treatment had the best phosphorus uptake in terms of milligrams of phosphorus per pot in the grain. So for our translocation study, we were able to calculate the amount of phosphorus in the grain that came from the fertiliser, and it wasn't very high, and we didn't actually find a difference between treatments. So there's a small amount of phosphorus fertiliser that's translocating to the grain with no difference between treatments. So we think that the foliar P is more likely having an effect on supporting the tiller and the ability of tiller to move that photosynthate around and fill grain than it is loading the P with grain. And there are a number of studies that suggest that grain P concentration and grain yield aren't necessarily directly correlated. So our recommendations for foliar P testing, and that includes recommendations to ourselves, is that you really need a P-responsive soil. There were an overwhelming number of studies in the literature that were high-fertility sites that didn't require any additional phosphorus, whether it came in the form of soil P or foliar P. And we think that you need to confirm this with pilot studies of dose-response curves before you even get to the stage of testing your products. It's important to have a good independent assessment of the amount of nutrient applied. And when you're playing around with adjuvants, this means you probably need to digest up your fertiliser formulation to be able to measure your phosphorus concentration. Foliar P fertilisers need to be applied at the same rate on an elemental basis, and the non-phosphorus nutrients need to be balanced. It's important to use the same spray or drop size and adjuvant if comparing phosphorus formulation, or same phosphorus formulation if comparing adjuvants. The same timing of application is also important, whether it be the time of the day to capture the climate effects or the growth stage. And an accurate assessment of foliar uptake and efficacy can help us understand the mechanisms that make foliar P work. Thank you.
We've got a couple of minutes for questions.
How did you physically apply the materials with a dropper?
A pipette, a 10 microliter pipette. But I think after talking to the herbicide guys, we could go smaller again, quite a bit smaller. It would just be ultra fiddly.
Which time is it, morning or evening, or foliar spray?
We didn't test that. Our application was actually during a heat wave. It was in the glasshouse, so there was control over temperature, but the growth, we couldn't do anything about the growth of the wheat, so we had to apply it before anthesis. So it ended up being during a heat wave, so it was quite high humidity and temperature when we applied it.
Do you intend to take this out into the field?
Definitely, if we can get funding. This was seed funding, and we're trying to track down some more substantial funding. It's generated a lot of farmer interest in Australia because canopy management is obviously, with the water stress that they've been encountering in the last few years, it's quite important to them.
Okay, thank you. We were out of time for this part.